WBSM presents Brian's Beat with Brian Thomas. Streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, Brian Thomas.
If they don't behave, we'll go right back to dropping bombs right smack in the middle of their head.
The war with Iran has cost the United States an estimated $100 billion.
I'm going to be your worst nightmare ever.
Israel should be happy that President Trump is trying to put an end to this war.
It's also my job to represent the importance of Israel to the United States.
The problem for Israel is not Donald J. Trump.
We're now totally independent of the Middle East. We don't need their oil.
Without Israel, without the Jewish Foundation, there would not be an America.
You're the dumbest bastard on WBSM.
That's me.
Hour three of the Brian's Beat Network here on WBSM. Hour two of Brian's Beat. My thanks again to Tim Dunn of the Boston Herald for coming in studio, talking to us about not only Seth Moulton and the hand slap cell phone to the ground deal or ordeal. And of course, we spent the majority of the time talking about Sean Oliver and was it the right move or maybe not the right move for him to move forward with the Democrats in sealing the deal, let's say, about three people who did not have the certified signatures for a plethora of reasons. But one of the reasons was because there were dead people that somehow signed petitions. How does that happen? So, I guess I'm mixed. I like Sean Oliver. I'm not sure that he would make a great lieutenant governor, but I can't really tell you much that a lieutenant governor does. But be that as it may, I think people within the Republican Party, the mass GOP, and representatives of the RNC, the National Committee, they probably would not be as upset if Sean Oliver's campaign did not piggyback with the Democrats in whatever petition to make sure that three people did not make it onto the primary ballot in September, it is. So I'm curious as to your thoughts on that. Look, it seems that Sean Oliver is a lock to be the lieutenant governor on the Republican side. I'm hard pressed to believe, and anything can change. Anything can change. I'm just hard pressed to believe that the Healy Driscoll ticket is going to falter. I think they're too campaign savvy. I'm not sure how savvy Mike Minogue is. Brian Shortsleeve doesn't impress me. So there you have it with that. Any thoughts? 508-996-0500. While I'm talking about the election, the Libertarians have a candidate for state auditor. And I think it's great. Hopefully he gets 23% of the vote, so the Libertarians are a major party again here in the Commonwealth. I don't know if the Republicans are running anybody for state auditor. But it begs the question about Diana DeSaglio and her job performance. I know she's tried. But she hasn't been able to get an audit, the audit that the people voted for. the audit that she campaigned heavily to produce, got people to vote for, and has spent a huge chunk of time over the past couple of years trying to get an audit. But what else has she done as auditor? More so than what any other auditor would be or should be doing. And I like libertarian candidates in positions of treasurer, positions of auditor, secretary of state, attorney general, and district attorneys. I think there is a trust factor that we bring to the table, in particular in those positions. Whatever bad you might think of libertarians, wouldn't you want the libertarian watching your money, watching spending? Yeah. Wouldn't you want a libertarian that is following the laws of the land, laws of the Commonwealth, Attorney General, Secretary of State? There was a story that I think I saw it yesterday or today. Again, a Standard Time story. And it made me think of the homeless population. The story itself isn't about the homeless population, but it ticked something in my head that said, you know what? Maybe, just maybe. Can you sleep overnight on beaches in Greater New Bedford? What to know? Quick answer, no, you cannot. But it begs the question, when the weather is better, let's say late April, beginning of May, into mid-October, let's say around that guy we call Columbus, his weekend. What if there was a slight charge, $1, $2, for people to sleep at the beach at night? They would have to be off at 6 in the morning, 7 in the morning. And I'm talking about the homeless population. That way there's a place for them to congregate. Here's what else will happen. Not only can they congregate, you might have a police officer or two down at that area because, you know, East Beach, West Beach, you might need to make sure that everything is orderly. But it's a place for them to sleep. They're not downtown. You've got buses that ride out to that area, both of those beach. I don't know. I'm going to halt on that West Beach. They might not go down by West Beach, but they do East Beach. And so I thought that might help the homeless population for a few months. Might only be 4 or 5 months, but it's better than nothing. And you already have porta potties down there. And my guess is you would have the night vendors. You know how in downtown New Bedford on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, there's always someone in one of those Roach Coach type vehicles, coffee, hot dogs, things like that for people to eat, snack on. You can be sure one or two of those would make their way down to the beach area if homeless people are going to be there and the homeless people can get a bite to eat. Just a thought. You know, McDonald's and some of the other fast food restaurants realized that we're paying for the land 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We might as well be open more than just for lunch and early dinner. And that's why you see McDonald's and Burger King and many of the other type fast food restaurants open until 3 in the morning. Sometimes you got a 24-hour one. They also do breakfast. You and I are paying for the beach to be open. Why not charge people a buck or two? Let them sleep at the beach. The money that comes in helps to defray the cost of having police there and any other services that might be necessary. Just a thought. 508-996-0500. Ever wonder why B&O Railroad, B&O Railroad, is featured in the game of Monopoly? Have you ever wondered about that? How do they pick B&O Railroad? B-O. B&O was the first passenger train service. B&O, by the way, stands for Baltimore and Ohio. First passenger train service to use electrical locomotives. And it all started on this date in 1895. 1950, President Truman decided it was okay to send the Air Force and the Navy to battle in Korea, which I think at that time it was South Korea, because the reason they got sent is that the United Nations asked, and that's because the North Koreans had made their way into South Korea and were pretty close to Seoul, South Korea. And our forces and the United Nations force pushed the North Koreans back over the whatever parallel that is. And then it became a stalemate. That was 1950. And it seemed like a great escape plan when President Nixon left the White House for the Soviet Union on this date in 1974. But as you know, Tricky Dick came back. Less than 2 months after that, he resigned in disgrace from the presidency. The Brian's Beat quote of the day, presented by Travel Time Tips. Well, if crime fighters fight crime and firefighters fight fire, what do freedom fighters fight? They never mention that part to us, do they? If crime fighters fight crime and firefighters fight fire, what do freedom fighters fight? They never mention that part to us, do they? George Carlin with today's quote. All right, 508-996-0500 to get onto the program today. Lots of things have gone on. The Supreme Court ruling that came out Wednesday, Thursday, whatever, about the temporary protective status. Personal feeling. There's a reason why the word temporary is at the forefront of the whole thing. Now, what may be questionable, but the Supreme Court seems to believe it isn't, is who makes the call on temporary? If Congress put together temporary protective status and voted on it, that would be one thing. I'm not quite sure that's the way it happened. And according to the Supreme Court, it didn't. The vote was down party lines, pretty much, 6-3. So the question now becomes, how many of the Haitians that are here and the Syrians that are here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts are going to be affected by this ruling? And I think we're going to have quite a few. One thing's for sure, one of our U.S. senators is not too happy about the decision.
These are not people who are here unlawfully. These are not people who are undocumented. These are people who followed the law, who listened to the United States of America.
Senator Elizabeth Warren, and she makes a damn good point. No, I'm not voting for her, but she makes a point. These are people that were told, maybe by a different administration, but they were told that they would be allowed to come in because of whatever strife was going on in their homeland. They didn't break any laws. And the president of the United States has been telling us that he's going after the worst of the worst. Now you've got people that are working here in the Commonwealth contributing to the tax base, and they could end up out of the country. And I know a lot of people are happy about that, but is that what you voted for? Did you vote to get rid of the temporary status? Or did you want people that were criminals out of here? Did you want people that came into the country illegally out of here? Not people that came into the country legally. And I'm going to assume got their shots, have their papers. Now, here's the next part. You can have the government, the federal government, just negate the paperwork, you know, kick them out of the system. But how is ICE, how is Border and Customs Patrol, how are they supposed to know who is whom? How are they supposed to know that without stopping almost everybody that looks kind of Syrian, whatever that really means, kind of Haitian? How does that work without being unconstitutional? How does that work? Can anybody explain it to me? Does anybody want to? I know people are pretty happy with the decision. And I have to admit, the Supreme Court did get it right. They did get it right. But now comes the difficult part. How do you go about making this happen without infringing on other people's rights that have a right to be here? Because here in the Commonwealth, what do we have? 45,000 people that are here under that protective status. It's not a huge population. But there are other Haitians that are here that are on permanent status. And then there are people that I guess I can say look Haitian, but they might be from the Dominican Republic. They look Haitian, but they may be from an African country. They look Haitian, but they may have come down from Canada. How do you go about doing this without infringing on folks' rights? We saw what happened in Minnesota. We saw what happened in California. We know what happened in New Bedford. So I'm curious as to, okay, you got the paperwork. The Supreme Court has signed off on this. Now how are you going to make it work without infringing on other people's rights? Or do you not care if other rights are infringed upon because the ends justifies the means? And I feel sorry for you if you do believe that the end justifies the means, but there are many people that feel that way. How about you? Now, that part's out there. I'm a little partial here because my youngest son is engaged to a woman who is Haitian by birth, U.S. citizen, naturalized. And her family has slowly matriculated into the United States. Most of them are here not under the protected status, but they're Haitian. They speak broken English, but they've got their paperwork. Are they to be expected to carry their paperwork everywhere they go? Because we do live in a nation where it's not papers, please. And from what we've seen and heard with some of the other cases, the agents aren't looking at paperwork. They're not taking the paperwork. They're slapping it to the ground like Seth Moulton would do to a cell phone. Yet, they're allowed to be here. They get rounded up. And who knows how long they might end up being detained. Because as we have seen, when people end up in ICE detention, they don't readily get to make a phone call. They aren't in the best of conditions. They haven't done it. Again, we're talking about people who haven't done anything wrong, who are supposed to be here legally. Legally. And so, yeah, I might be throwing some partialness into this. But the bigger picture is where I'm coming from. Because piece by piece by piece, whether it's this administration, could be an Obama administration, could have been the Bush administration back in the early 2000s, bits and pieces of our rights are eroding, falling apart. And if you're here legally, you have those rights too. And so I am wondering how this is going to be implemented, because my guess is the Trump administration or the president has people working on it right now. How are we going to do this? Who do we have to bring in? How many are we going to deport? Because he can add this up. He's thinking to himself, I'm going to count this as my illegals and say that my numbers are growing here. 508-996-0500. Brian's Beat on WBSM.
This is WBSM.
I've got winter stains on my carpet. Where's the bank? Call Bay State Business Funders at 774-473-5250. They can process working capital funding in 2 to 3 business days. BayStateBusinessFunders.com.
Here's what's happening this week on Town Square Sunday. New Bedford Light columnist Jack Spillane will join us with thoughts about New Bedford's budget crisis. What's the next step for city leaders? Did Station 9 remain open? Are the mayor and council working together to head off a significant tax increase? Jack and I will chat all about it. And we'll talk with Jeff Angeli about the 4th annual NV Roots and Branches Festival coming up July 17th and 18th in downtown New Bedford. It's music and more this year. I'm Jim Phillips. Join me Sunday morning at 6 and 11 for Town Square Sunday at 1420 WBSM. 99.5 FM.
Remember Friday nights at the video store, walking the aisles, picking out movies like The Sting, watching it with no commercials? That feeling is back at deathbythrift.com. Discover pre-loved DVDs, classic VHS tapes, and retro cassettes. Whether you're reliving memories or building a collection, there's always something waiting at deathbythrift.com. Don't just stream the past. Go to deathbythrift.com and own it.
Call 508-996-0500. Back to Brian's Beat.
This is a really ugly day.
Senator Elizabeth Warren talking about the Supreme Court 6-3 ruling. I think it was Thursday, may have been on Wednesday, basically saying the president has the right to end the temporary protective status. And I agree. He does. The court got it right. But now that we've got that taken care of, and you might want to ask the question, why do you even have to go down that particular road since those people came in here legally and you pledged to get people that came in here illegally out? Anyway, there was something else that happened Wednesday on the federal level. The Congress, House, and Senate voted across party lines to pass a bill that is supposed to change the way housing is done in the United States. Legislation, as it's written up, legislation intended to increase the housing supply, lower housing costs, and limit the number of single-family homes that large institutional investors and private equity firms can buy. Now, let's look at this sensibly, if we can. If Congress is passing such a bill, don't you need to have oversight to make sure that everything is going according to plan? Don't you need the oversight to make sure there's no waste, fraud, abuse? Of course. So, you're going to end up spending more money. But once again, this is going to be on a national basis. So your federal income taxes going in this particular direction. So what does the federal government do to increase the housing supply? Are they going to take protected land and say, okay, you can build here? Are they going to make more public housing? So how are they going to increase the housing supply? Again, this is a federal bill. I don't believe the federal government should be in this type of housing. Yes, housing for military folk. But now that you have your hand in this pie, and again, we've got loan programs out there, same thing. Federal government should not be in the housing supply business, because how are they going to go about it? If you're going to increase the housing supply, how much money, how many of my tax dollars are going to go to help increase this? And if you're taking my tax dollars in that direction, then I've got less money for the housing that I have where I'm at. So one has to contemplate, you've got a place, you're struggling to pay your bill, and then the government is going to come along and take more of your money for some housing starts somewhere else. Doesn't seem right to me. Lowering housing cost. I suppose the federal government could get into more housing grants and Section 8 type housing. But once again, so now you've got people that are in the working class qualifying to become in some type of government housing. You're still going to have people pay for that. People that aren't in government housing. But what happens is the more people that you afford to live in these housing developments that you're putting together, the more tax dollars it's going to cost. By the way, if you have to comply to all the federal, state, and local standards, housing codes, whatnot, isn't that housing going to be very, very expensive? We already talk about housing being expensive here in the Commonwealth with all of the local codes and state mandates. Now you're going to add the federal government on top of that? Wow. Elizabeth Warren. Oh, okay. So let me, before I go into Lizzie here, let me explain. Donald Trump has decided that although he kind of endorsed the bill as it was making its way through Congress, he has decided he's not going to sign it. He refuses to sign this so-called bipartisan housing bill because Congress cannot pass the SAFE Act. He wants the Republicans to kill the filibuster. He says that the Democrats would do the same thing. Well, I don't know. I'm not a Democrat. But the Democrats have had control of the U.S. Senate many times and a longer time during my lifetime than the Republicans have. And never did they vote to get rid of the filibuster. John Thune, the Senate president, he doesn't see himself, Senate Majority Leader. He says, we don't have the votes. Mitch McConnell, don't have the votes. And yet Donald Trump wants the filibuster to be busted so he can get this safe thing that still wouldn't pass. Even if you bust the filibuster, it's not going to pass. And he can try to arm wrestle people down to the ground over it, especially folks that he just helped to get kicked out of office, like John Cornyn and not Kennedy, but the guy from Louisiana. So it's not that I'm stuck here. I don't think we need the housing bill on the federal level. But now you've got Donald Trump who wants to pass yet more legislation, this one dealing with voting. Voting is a states' rights issue. I don't know how all of that is going to meet out. I don't expect it to go up to the U.S. Supreme Court because at this particular time, I don't see the Republicans changing their mind, especially the Republicans that are trying to run for office. So I don't see that changing anytime soon. Meanwhile, the president, he's got other things on his mind. He's trying to figure out the Iranians. He's trying to get a SAFE Act passed. He got a win, though. He got a win with the Supreme Court and the temporary protective status situation. But considering the MOU, he's been on a bit of a losing streak lately. Let's hear from you. Hello.
Hey, Brian. How are you?
I am. And you?
Yeah, it's hot enough for you?
No, not really.
No?
I'm in a cool studio.
Yeah, it's going to be hot in Miami playing tonight.
Why?
Portugal against I forget the other team now. They got a brain fart.
Again?
Colombia, yeah.
So who do you think is
going to... Yeah, again, it happens often, you know, when you get older, Brian, you know?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I'm trying my best not to get older.
Yeah, it's tough to get old.
I bet it is.
You know, Massachusetts, the cost of lending, living index. The average for the U.S. is 100. Hawaii obviously is number 51. Hawaii is 185 is the index average, which is 85% above the national average. Massachusetts, number two on the list.
Really?
It's plus 49% over the national average. Number three, California, District of Columbia, Alaska, New York, and New Jersey. Imagine, would you ever believe that Massachusetts would be more expensive to live than in New York and New Jersey?
Yes. New York is a big state.
Yeah.
And you know, so you've got a lot of farmland.
Yeah. You know what the reason they give? Well, Hawaii, they say the reason for it being so expensive is extreme housing and remote import grocery prices.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, energy costs. Massachusetts, high housing, utilities, and healthcare costs. Is what they're saying.
You know, I'm going to let you continue, but I find it interesting. Healthcare costs, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Healthcare is through the roof. But aren't we the state that passed Romney Care back in, 2005, thereabouts?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so that's we've got Romney Care, and wasn't Romney Care supposed to lower the cost of health insurance?
That's what they said. But
that's
right.
So here we go. This is a classic example of what I was talking about before. Government puts their fingers in the pie. All of a sudden, it's costing us a lot more.
Right. And the health insurance companies want to go up an over 20% increase on the health care insurance this year. That's what they're doing. And the lobbyists, they're waiting for the rubber stamp. And the regulators put the rubber stamp, and then Andrea Campbell says, puts a signature. Okay, guys, you get whatever you want. But the cheapest states to live, number one is Mississippi.
Yeah.
Two, Oklahoma. Three, Kansas. Four, Missouri. Five, Alabama. Six, Iowa. Seven, Nebraska. Eight, Arkansas. Nine, West Virginia. And 10, Tennessee. So we keep hearing about North Carolina and Florida. Ah, it's cheap to live. Well, Georgia is number 12. Their score is 91, according to the index score. North Carolina comes in at 25. South Carolina is at 26. Florida is number 30. And Rhode Island, believe it or not, is 37. So everybody's packing their bags. They're going to Florida. The prices of real estate's through the roof.
Well, and I think a lot of the states that you mentioned, including North Carolina and South Carolina, they've seen a large influx of people, and that's driving the price up.
Oh, sure. And then in Florida, you buy a house there, you know that depending where you are, because, you know, the hurricanes, and you got all those tropical storms, you can't even insure your home in some parts of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so everybody's going down there. Not to mention, you got to fight off alligators, crocodiles,
and sharks.
The sharks, the boa constrictors. Who knows what else? I mean, mm-hmm. You got panthers out there too. You know,
mm-hmm.
But it's not that. And Texas. Texas is number 17 on the list. Their score is 93. But all we got to do is get these politicians out of here. That's what we got to do to try to bring some sanity and the cost of living down. Because, you know, when we talked about this the other day when you filled in for Barry, it's out of control spending and just overtaxation. That's what's, and they're creating all of this. Plus, they, every time there's an increase, the insurance company wants an increase, the utility companies want an increase, they put the rubber stamp and they sign off. And then Barry was talking about this, the utilities, the wind and solar. Because Maura Healey was down here promoting, you know, all her lies. 6% of the energy is produced by solar and wind. Only 6. But yet we're paying through the nose to subsidize European companies to come off, do offshore wind.
There's nothing for me to argue about what you're stating. You're absolutely right. But the problem is people are still, they're going to vote for that person because they don't want the other one to win.
Yeah, well, she's running against Trump. I'd say to her, you might as well run against Mickey Mouse. I mean, if I was Manoog or short sleeve in a debate head to head, I says, you know, you need to be admitted to a psych ward. You're not running against Trump. You might as well run against Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse. I'm running for governor, and this is what you failed to do. And this is, let me ask you one thing. She was down here in New Bedford. Now, she wants the net zero policy. Did she walk down here from Boston, or did they have a fleet of SUVs, gas guzzlers, coming down here? The same woman that wants you to walk and take transit. Did she walk down here, her and her cabinet?
My guess is they did not.
Right. So this is the hypocrisy. She don't want you to buy a diesel tractor. She don't want you to buy a diesel truck. And on top of that, they're trying to peddle this crap up in Boston. If you have a car that sold it in 2006, you won't be able to register it. They want it off the road. That's what they're peddling now up in up there in Dunhill.
Really? That's news to me. Where did you hear that?
I heard it on the news. I forget what, because I surfed the radio dial, you know.
I'm going to look into that. No, I did not know. That's why I just heard it from you.
Ridiculous. I'm telling you. Hmm. Some other states already have it.
2006. Your car can't be on the road anymore.
Yeah, well, because of the carbon footprint and all that baloney, climate change and all that baloney that they're trying to peddle to us.
You know, I'm going to leave you with a question.
Go ahead.
And let you answer this. Do you, you know, we talked about health care. Talked about housing. How long do you think it will be before the state and federal government has their hands on health care? I mean, to where there's going to be a single payer type system, and the same thing with housing. So you're not going to have to worry about maybe the ownership of a house, and rents are going to be stabilized courtesy of the government.
Well, we're heading there. Look at Canada. They got socialized medicine. I think we're going to get to that. But the thing is, they're going to tell you, well, you know, you're up there in age. You're going to have that kind of surgery. You're going to kick the bucket anyway. That's a waste of taxpayer money. Toodaloo. You know, you worked, you helped the city, but now you're a burden. Bye-bye. You're gone. You know? And then this whole thing with the housing market, rent control, when these politicians are subsidizing everybody, you know, all these other illegal aliens, whoever, and then they're driving up the cost of rents.
You got it.
And then, and now they want to go up on your property taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a guy that owns properties or you live in your home, you're just going to be squeezed out.
I got you. Hey, thanks for the call.
All right, Brian.
I do appreciate it. You know, I was searching, and I found maybe 3 weeks ago a place where there's no sales tax and there's no property tax. Hello.
Hi.
No, I'm not.
I remember you brought, you always get me on that one. Doggone it. And I even rehearsed it in my head to say howdy doody.
Not yet.
I remember you mentioning that you found a place that was tax-free and everything. Where was this place? Were you just pulling our legs?
Say that again, please.
Were you just pulling our legs?
Is there really
a place where there's no property taxes and no taxes?
Oh, yeah. Yes, there is. I was not pulling your leg, and I'm going to have somebody from there on the show coming up.
Oh, wonderful.
Not today coming up, but coming up.
Yeah. Yes. I just got in and stuff, so I'm glad I got to call you because I just wanted to wish you a happy 4th.
Independence Day, thank you.
Yes, Independence Day, to be politically correct.
Well, you know, that's what it is. I celebrate the 4th like I celebrate the 5th. You know?
Well, woo-hoo.
And sometimes the 4th... At this radio station, they're celebrating the 4th on the 3rd.
No.
Yes.
Why didn't you say that?
Because it's a holiday, and so they're taking the Friday off. They're already off on Saturday.
Oh,
So
right,
it's Independence Day to me.
He, and he's going to read the in the, what is he saying he's going to read?
Who?
Tim. He's going to read the Independence Declaration.
Oh, Tim is?
Yeah, he's going to read the whole thing.
On the air?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's what he decided to do for us all. I would love to be able to hear him do that, but I don't know exactly. I'll have to ask him on Monday what time he plans on doing it.
He's going
to
do it on Monday.
And sometimes my car, my radio in my car comes in and out, driving towards Plymouth. I plan on staying in Plymouth for the day and evening for the fireworks.
Here's what I'm going to suggest. Mm. Listen to it through the app.
Yeah, I was thinking about that
way,
too.
That way you won't have to worry about the radio fading in and out.
Yeah, but you know, Brian, walking around holding my phone in the summer in the heat, it's going to be hard for me. You know,
do you want to hear it or don't you?
Well, you know what? I think I'll just go to the podcast. If it's going to be at a certain time frame that, you know, I can't listen to it, I'll just go to the podcast and listen to it.
There you go.
I wanted to ask you, because speaking of radio coming in and out, when I just walked in and him talking, what did he say? What cars? Because I've got a 2008. So what was he saying?
2006, I think, was the cutoff.
And what are they doing?
Apparently, you're not going to be able to have those cars on the road.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's just what he said, and something that he heard. I want to check it. And apparently, he said other states are in the process or are already doing that. It's the first I've heard of it.
Me too. Oh, my God. That's just ludicrous, because some people, I mean, my car was not a problem for me, but my husband's car, that's a 2005, and I gave that to a friend, a dear friend. I knew my husband would be really happy knowing he got it, and the car runs fantastic. It had very, very low mileage, only 65,000 mileage. It was his mother's originally, and then
my guess is they're going back that far, because the electronics that are in cars now are more apt to trace you better.
Oh, you think? Because, you know, I didn't think that. You know what I thought?
Most people don't.
I thought because of the emissions.
That will be what you hear. I think if your car is a 2013... Excuse me. Yes, 2013 or 2012, you don't have to worry about the emissions test.
Yeah, it's after a certain year, you don't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. But my car's a good little car. She gives me headaches, just like the normal stuff that breaks on a car eventually. But right now, I don't know. I might have a little trouble, but not even going to be focused on that right now.
Gotcha.
But yeah, that'll be interesting. I don't have electronics in my car. My CD is about as electronic as I get in my lock.
What year is your car?
2008.
You've got electronics on your car.
My door, my unlock door.
Your ignition is an electronic ignition. And my guess is there are a couple of other things that are computer oriented in your car that you don't even know about.
Really?
Yes.
I got a CD.
That's what you listen to. But there are other things in there that run off of the electronic system that is more computer oriented. At any rate, because of time, yes. I'm going to say thank you much, and we will do
it
again.
Welcome.
Have a great one.
Okay, you go.
Adios. Bye.
The revolution will not be televised. Will not be televised. Will not be televised. Will not be televised.
WBSM.
If you want to see today's Brian's Beat quote of the day and weigh in, just go to briansbeat.com and click Facebook. When you're curious about how airfare pricing works, travel time tips answers live calls at 800-221-6085. There's no obligation.
Marjorie's restaurant got so busy, she needed more seats for her hungry customers. But when she went to the bank for an expansion loan, they told her she didn't have enough collateral.
That's what Marjorie called Bay State Business Funders. 2 days later, $25,000 was in her bank account. Today, more customers are sitting and enjoying their meals, and Marjorie's business is booming. BayStateBusinessFunders.com. Call us at 774-473-5250. Bay State Business Funders. When the banks say no, often we say yes.
We all make choices. When it comes to alcohol, kids make choices whether to drink or not.
Bye, Dad.
Bye-bye.
Remember, I'm going to Alex's party tonight and sleeping over.
Hey, Em, have a seat for a second. Remind me about that party again.
Alex is just...
And adults make choices whether to talk about it. That's true of parents and every other trusted adult in a kid's life. Kids want to know our expectations when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. They want guidance and honest answers to their questions. And it makes a difference when the message is consistent and part of everyday conversations. So talk with your kids and help lead them on a positive path. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Back to Brian's Beat.
Time for me to pack up my bags and get on out. We'll do it again next week, I believe. Carver, 73 degrees. Rehoboth, 76. New Bage, 75. My thanks to Tim Dunn for...